world and go about our daily lives with these special spiritual glasses that allowed us to see people with their spiritual life observed. So we could look through these glasses and we would see them whether they were alive or whether they were dead spiritually, whether they had the Spirit of God living in them or whether they were dead. It's that kind of scene that Ezekiel is taken to when he is given this great vision. And the Lord takes him to this valley in Ezekiel chapter 37. And it's similar to what you might have seen in some of the Civil War photos where they would take a gray and white photo of, or black and white photo, which has a lot of grays in it, of the battle scene and what it looked like a day or two after the battle. With dead bodies all throughout the field, just lying there decaying. Ezekiel sees this, but these bodies have decayed so much that all it is bones. And they are left parched and dried. And he sees these countless hundreds of bones out there. And God is going to give him a message. This morning our topic is resurrecting the spiritually dead. And as you think about this topic, I want you to realize that we're thinking about our theme for this year, and we're emphasizing it again this morning. Everyone, win one. And we're thinking about evangelism and all that we can do to try to share the gospel with others. And so through our actions, through our service, through our kindness, through our invitations to church, we want to try to be constantly thinking about who we can share the gospel with and who can we bring to know the Lord. Who is your one? Everyone win one. And so as you go about your day-to-day life, I want you to look around. I want you to see what Ezekiel saw. That a lot of people are dead. A lot of people are spiritually dead. As we think about this, we want to realize that these dead bones that we see, they can live. They can live. And so note in the first place that we have a lot of dead men walking. A lot of dead men walking. Ezekiel would say in this passage, I want to read the overall entire passage. Then we'll notice the key verse of verse 11. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me. And he brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. And it was full of bones. He led me around among them. And behold, there were very many in the surface of the valley. Behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and will cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was the sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. So Ezekiel is preaching, and that's the idea of prophesying here, of proclaiming the word of the Lord. He starts to preach. He starts to proclaim the word of the Lord. And these bones, kind of like a scene, this ought to be a Halloween sermon, right? The bones start clanking together, and they start rattling, and they start going back to the bones that they are connected with, to the skeleton, and they're forming these skeletons. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So he said, there's bones, there's skeletons here, but there's no breath, there's flesh, but they do not yet have the Spirit of God living in them. They do not yet have their breath. You remember back in Genesis, when God formed man, formed Eve, he breathed into them the Spirit of life. He gave them the breath. And so there's life here, but there's not yet God's Spirit. There's not yet true life and breath. And so he says, preach some more, Ezekiel, preach. So I prophesied as he commanded me, verse 10, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet and were an exceedingly great army. There was probably hundreds of these. There was a lot of them. They're living. They're a great army, Ezekiel is described as saying. And then he applies this. He said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are indeed cut off. You see, Ezekiel is written to the nation of Israel when they were in exile. The first so many chapters, first 24 chapters, are warnings against the southern nation of Judah. And then 25 through 32 prophesy of warnings to other nations. And in verse 33, the word comes that the nation of Judah has been utterly destroyed. They were carried away into Babylonian captivity. The city of Jerusalem was burned, and the stones were taken down and thrown on top of one another, and the city was ransacked and destroyed. And now these people who are in a far-off foreign land, and Ezekiel is there in this foreign land, he is prophesying to them. And these people are saying, they're feeling like, our bones are dried up, our hope has perished, we are completely cut off. What did you feel like after September 11th? Did you feel a sense of hopelessness for our nation as we saw that, or fear? Imagine what it would be like if that was only the beginning. But if an invading army had come in and carried us away and destroyed our homes and taken us to a foreign land. That's what the children of Israel were experiencing. They were living in a foreign land, and they had grown hopeless with their future. They said, we're like a bunch of bones. There's no hope for us. Our hope has gone. Our hope has perished. We are completely severed from the Lord. We're cut off. The Messiah and all their hopes they had, they'd given up on. We're going to live a destitute life as slaves and sojourners, in a foreign land. That's where they were. And Ezekiel gives them a message that you may feel like dry bones. You may feel like dead men walking. But God can put life in you again. You see, when you think about dead men walking and you think about looking through spiritual glasses, we realize that maybe you this morning, and certainly a lot of people in our world, are dead men walking. They're hopeless people. They live lives of focused on the ordinary and never the extraordinary. They live lives that are really focused just on how do I get enough money to make it to the weekend so I can buy a couple of packs of beer, and then that'll give you a little bit of fun. Then I'll do it all over again and work the next week just so I can make it back for that. Hopeless. Well, people who are living without a faith in God, and they feel such fear and dread if they ever think about their own mortality because they don't have hope. Or people who are wrapped up in some sin, some addiction, or some other sin in their own life, and they know they're not right with the Lord. They know that their conscience is convicted. They have hopelessness. There's hopeless people in our world today. If you were to put on spiritual glasses and go to Walmart or go to the grocery store or go out through our community, you would see a lot of people who are dead men walking. Maybe you're here this morning If I were to have on spiritual glasses, I would see bones when I looked at you. Because you're hopeless. You're hopeless in your own thoughts and your own attitude. You don't come in this morning with conviction. You're here just because you were drugged here by a family member or out of obligation. But as Peter talked in 1 Peter 3:15, you're not giving an answer for the reason of the hope that is in you. You don't have hope. There's hopeless churches too. There's some churches that are meeting across our world today. They're really hopeless. They're focused more on what everybody else is doing wrong. They're focused more about how bad the world is, or about how small they're getting. They're a dying church and there's no chance for them to survive. How much longer is it going to be before we have to close the door? How can we pay the electric bill this month? Hopeless churches. Churches that don't ring with hope. If you were to look at the churches, you would see a lot of dead bones. There's also hopeless situations. People that, if you were to look at their lives, they would, in the situation they're in, they feel and they believe it is hopeless. Maybe you're in a marriage like that. You think, what can be done to change this? There's nothing that can be done. It's the way it's always been. It's the way it's always going to be. Maybe you're in that kind of relationship with a estranged family member. Maybe a son or daughter that you love dearly, but y'all have got into a lot of conflict and there is now estrangement between y'all and a lot of hurt feelings. You feel like it's hopeless. Maybe you're in a hopeless situation financially. You're dealing with something and you just feel like you're swamped with debt. You're thinking, I'm just in a hopeless situation. And if you look at that situation, it's just full of dead bones. And you think, where is the Lord in this? He's not in it. This is hopeless. Maybe it's with your health. You feel like I'm in a hopeless situation. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul would talk about all of us as people. And he says that we were children of wrath. We were dead in our trespasses, verse 4. We were dead, Paul says. We were dead. In verses 11 through 13, he talks about how we had no hope without God. Hopeless. Two of the scariest words in all the New Testament. No hope. No hope without God. You see, hopeless. Romans chapter 1 through 3, Paul describes how in chapter 1, the Gentiles are under sin. Chapter 2, the Jews are under sin. Chapter 3, therefore all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all under sin. We're all hopeless without Christ. You see, spiritually speaking, dead men are walking. And they're living lives of hopelessness. But here's the question he asked. He says, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, I've described a lot of situations and you may feel like it's hopeless. And if I were to take you to the bones of some battlefield that have been laying out there parched and decayed and been sitting there in the sun for years, and I were to say, do you think these bones can live? You'd say, well, there's no way these bones are going to live, Josh. But if the Lord took you to those bones and the Lord said to you, do you think these bones could live? Ezekiel knew that it was humanly impossible for those bones to live, but he answered rightly, didn't he? Because he knew who God was. He hedged his bet, if you will. He said, Lord, I don't know. I mean, I don't think that I can't make them live. But what did he say? Oh, Lord God, you know. I want you to hear that. If you feel like you're in a hopeless situation, if we... or you ever think that this church is a hopeless church, or you ever think you're a hopeless person, you're living life without hope, without purpose, without meaning, I want you to ask the question, because really this is where the Lord wants to get you. And He really can't work on you until He gets you to this point, that it really is hopeless without Him. And that human-wise, you can't make all those bones come back together. Human-wise, you can't fix everything. And really, it's hopeless in your own perspective. But the Lord knows. Only the Lord can bring about the resurrection. Only the Lord can put hope where hopelessness exists. Only the Lord can give purpose and salvation and forgiveness where there is sin and death and misery. You see, therefore we're told to preach. Ezekiel is told to preach, to prophesy in verses 4 through 10, to start preaching. You see, preaching is what puts life into deadness. It's the power of the Word of God. And so this morning, as you're thinking about your life, I want you to know that it begins with putting the power of the Word of God into your hopeless situation. In 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking about preaching, and he says in chapter 1, verse 18, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And then he says in verse 20, "For where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." The message of the cross, the message that is proclaimed and preached in the New Testament, is the message of power. Romans 1:16, "For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes." What gives hope in hopeless situations? What gives hope to hopeless people? What makes people be resurrected into new life? It's the power of the Word of God. Romans 10:17, "For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." When your faith is weak, you need to put the Word of God in your life. When you are struggling with problems, you need to put the Word of God in your life. You need to hear prophecy. You need to hear preaching. You need to hear a word from the Lord. Why are so many people walking around as dead men and women? Because they do not know and believe the Word of God. It's because they're not hearing and allowing the Word of God to impact their heart and their life. In Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says, "The Word of God is living and is sharper and is powerful as any two-edged sword to cut to the divisions of soul and spirit. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." The Word of God will cut us, will convict us. It will shape us. In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus says that the Word is spirit and life. You think about it. Our medical system is focused on keeping us alive physically. The Word of God is focused on keeping us alive spiritually. We can tell when someone dies physically. So often we miss when people are dead spiritually. But what God is teaching us in this vision, in this story, is that spiritual birth comes through the Word of God. And that God brings about change in our life through the proclamation, through the teaching, and through the reading, through the study of the Word of God. And who you are is shaped so much by what you believe about the Word of God. We were speaking in Bible class this morning about our identity and about bestowing a proper godly identity upon our children. And so much of that comes from what we believe about the Word of God, about that we were created by God. And that Jesus died for us. And we are unique and special. And we have an accountability before God and to God. You see, where do we get that from? And we get that from the Word of God, and that shapes how we believe and what we think and what we do. And so when we want to change people, we want to wake people and quicken people from their deadness. We have to preach and teach the Word of God. So as you think about everyone win one, as you're thinking about the deadness that you see around you, and you're thinking about people that are dead that you want to be made alive, here's the challenge. You've got in some way to get them exposed to the Word of God. You see, that's the seed. It's what's going to convict them. It's what's going to change them. It's not going to be some magical thing you do. It's going to be getting them exposed to the Word of God. And that's why we encourage people to be invited to church. Not only so they'll meet brethren and they'll meet people and be encouraged, but because they'll hear in our classes and in our sermons, we'll hear the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is amazing. So many times, things that I've taught, even though maybe I didn't even intend for it to be received this way, or I didn't think about it being received that way, impacts and changes someone's life. It's not about me, it's about the Word of God. Or something that is taught in your childhood by your parents, or by a preacher, by a Bible class teacher, comes back to you and causes you to change the way you act today. Why? Because it's the Word of God. Even though it was a seed that was sown years ago, it bears fruit now. You see, the Word of God is where the power is. So when Ezekiel looks at the dead bones of Israel, God says, Ezekiel, preach to them. And what hopeless people need, what hopeless churches need, and what hopeless situations need is the Word of God. So whether it's marriage or finances or sin or addiction, what they need is the Word of God. That's what we need, is the Word of God. But notice back to our text of Ezekiel 37, not only will the Word of God produce, it will produce a spirit-filled people. Look at verses 12 through 14. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves. I will raise you from your graves, O my people. I will bring you into the land of Israel. You shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and I raise you into your graves, from your graves, O my people. Listen to verse 14. For I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. I will place you in your own land, and you shall know that I am the Lord. For I have spoken, and I will do it. You see, Ezekiel prophesies about God's spirit being poured out upon them. He prophesies that though you're in a land now, you're going to be returned to the land of Israel. And he tells us later on in verses 21 through 28 that not only are they going to return to the land of Israel, but he tells them that he's going to be changing them. Look at verse 22. For I will make them one nation in the land, in the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations and no longer divided into two kingdoms, referring to Judah and Israel. They shall not defile themselves anymore with their idols or their detestable things or with anything that is transgressions. But I will save them from all their backslidings in which they have sinned, and you shall cleanse them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And my servant David, a reference to Jesus, shall be king over them. And they shall have one shepherd, another reference to Jesus. And they shall walk in my rules and be careful to obey my statutes. Verse 26, I will make a covenant of peace with them, a reference to the new covenant, to the New Testament. And it will be an everlasting covenant. And notice he says, verse 27, my dwelling place shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see, a spirit-filled person who's been resurrected is a person of God. That's a child of God. You go from being dead to being alive. Jesus said in John chapter 3, you're born again. You see, you are renewed. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, that you are a new creation. In Romans chapter 4 and Romans 6, he talks a lot about how we are born again and renewed in the Spirit. In chapter 8, verse 1, he says that there is now no condemnation for those who live in the Spirit, do not walk according to the flesh. You see, we become a child of God. And we have access to this everlasting covenant and to the King, Jesus Christ, who came and was our Savior. You see, the Word of God contains the promises of God. The promises of God. You know, all things are possible with God. You see, the real question we come back to, God, only you know. God, only you know. We look at things with this hopelessness. And from our own perspective, it looks hopeless. But God knows. You know, as you think about who's your one, you think about evangelizing people. I was thinking, I can look around this audience, and I'm not going to call names, but there's some people here. Some of you who've been here longer than I have could call more names. That so many years ago, you were someone that was hopeless if you were to ask some people if you would ever be a Christian. Will that person ever be a member of the church? You think they'll ever be at church very often? You ever see that man being a Bible class teacher? You ever see that person, that woman coming apart of Seven Oaks Church of Christ? Well, they wouldn't use the word hopeless, but pretty much they would say, oh, that's hopeless. I don't ever see that happening. Hey, only God knows. Only God knows. If you preach, if you teach, if you read, if you study the Word of God changes people. The power is in the gospel. And so don't say anybody is hopeless. Because God is in the business of resurrecting dead lives. Our job is just to sow the seed of the Word of God and allow His Word to put sinews and flesh and breath within them. So people that we never thought it was possible that they would come to the Lord, find spiritual life and salvation in the Lord. Because God did a God thing. And He resurrected them from their deadness through the power of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so this morning, as we're over 8 months into our Everyone Win One, I want you to be mindful that it's not about hopelessness. It's about the power of the gospel and the power of God to resurrect dead lives. And so let's go out and let's share the message of God. And let's let God change people. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you're in a hopeless situation. You feel like you yourself are living a hopeless life. There's no purpose. Will you come to the Spirit of God? Come and receive a resurrection. If you need to put Christ on in baptism, do that to be born again, to go from dead to alive. If you need to do that, do that. If you need to repent, if you need to confess sin in your life and be restored, then do that. Come as together we stand and sing.